being social as God would have us to be. Our Lord Jesus accompanied his mother and John in reference to this matter, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, to a wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. While he was there, of course, there was a great need that came up, and Jesus was able to call for water to be brought, and he did a great miracle at that occasion. And the people who drank the wine that there he made were recognized that it was different than what they had before drank. And because of that, they were able to discern with their taste. Those who study this matter say that those who taste of heavy liquor are people who lose their sensations of taste very quickly and are not able to decide what is sweeter and better. And these were able to do that. They said, this is better than the first. The idea, historically, we're told, is that the good man of the household would give to the people the better wine to begin with, and then they would give them the worse wine. Since their flavors and taste and everything had been kind of messed up, he'd give them the worse wine later on. But this was the reverse. This wine was tasted and they could sense it. Yeah, we're not drunken people at that occasion. It was an occasion where they drank and they were filled in that occasion, and a great social activity was underway for good. In Galatians chapter 5, we're told regarding social activities that they can get out of hand. The only birthday that we have listed, I guess, in the New Testament of significance to us is in Matthew chapter 14 at verse 6, in which Herod's birthday occurred. And there was Herodias' daughter, Salome, who came to dance for him on that occasion. We're led to believe by the context and the statements made by Herod later that this was a salacious type of dance that was being done. It was not a choreography of a play that was being rendered. It was really something that was being done in such a sensual way that he offered to her half of his kingdom. The idea was that she wanted the head of John the Baptist because her mother Herodias had been offended by John's preaching. And as a result, her mother had insisted that she ask of Herod for that privilege to have his head brought on a platter to her mother. And as a result, terrible things took place. Those social things can be for help. We're told in James chapter 1, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unguarded from the world. What do we find here? Well, we find in the pages of the Bible that pure religion is a practice of caring for those who are fatherless and widows in their affliction. We're to be people who look for the needs of and care for the needs of. Of course, when anybody comes under destitute circumstances, we would want to be assistance to them. This is the very idea of Jesus teaching as he taught the disciples to love our fellow man as ourselves, as we've already rehearsed in studies earlier in Matthew chapter 22, beginning at verse 36. We're to love our fellow man. And as we love our fellow man, we're to be interested in what that person is doing. And if that person is getting an automobile and fixing to drive down a road that we've become aware overnight that the bridge is out, then it would be a loving thing on our part to get out in the road and wave our arms and holler and shout, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Don't go that direction unless you want to go into the precipice up there. You go off the bridge. The bridge is not there. And the bridge has been washed out overnight. And to tell them the information that is true and accurate and good is the most helpful thing. Or if they were to go the other direction and have that same problem, whatever direction they were going, our love for our fellow man would be of such nature that in a social way, we would be people who care about informing them so that there would be little harm, if any, ever done as a result of their actions. We love them enough and care about them enough that we would guide them toward this way or that way. You know, when the Bible talks about this, it talks about good things and great things. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1, it is noted to us that the rich and the poor labor together, and God is the maker of them all. Well, rich and the poor, here we are together. And socially, in the page of the Bible, we've seen that there can be bad things that are done on a social basis, such as Salome did before the birthday party of Herod. But it also can be a good thing to be done, as Jesus gave help and aid, and one of his first miracle that he did there at Cana of Galilee in John 2. But now when we talk about being social in our ways, we want to be a friend to others. And being friends to others means that we practice enough that we recognize that there's a change of circumstances that comes about. And there in James 1 at 26 and 27, when he describes that pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is to visit, care for the fatherless and widows in their affliction. We do know that there are certain needs that children have. When Brother Alonzo Welch was able to recognize the needs of people, it was based upon a story of his own life that he told one night, only one time I ever heard it told, at the Okolona church building. When I asked various ones to come, Dan Bearden was one of them that came that particular week and preached, as well as Brother Alonzo Welch came and preached there at Okolona, sent off to college by that same doctor. He came back from that college and everything. He preached for a number of years at the old Union Avenue church building up there in Memphis, Tennessee. Brother Welch was a speaker, a wonderful speaker. But he got to realizing that the more that he preached about the souls of mankind, there were people who were better helped if, in fact, he fed them a little something first. People that were hungry, people that were in need. He went among the people who were, in that day and time, not called this, but they were homeless there around where the church building was on Union Avenue. By that time, Channel 5 had come in, and they had bought property, and they were fixing up that television station that would become a renowned NBC station there, right by the side of the church building, virtually. And there they were, and there were people who would come, and they didn't have any place to go. They would just occupy their time there. And he was able to help them. A sandwich here and a sandwich there and a gallon of tea here and there and yonder poured out in a cup. They'd come to church services. He would teach them the gospel, the unsearchable riches of Christ, and how the practice of pure religion is going to be something that you want to do to help others in your life. Don't stay where you are in the need circumstance. As you get warmed and filled, find others and help them, and they did. They found others that were on other parts of the town, other parts of the city. And they began to invite people. The Union Avenue Church, for that period of time, during some of those latter years of Brother Welch being there, were largely made up of converts from those needy people who had been served in a social way. What relationship is there, Lord, between a sandwich to eat and something to eat? Well, in Mark, there are two accounts that are given in Mark of the feeding of the 5,000, in which there were 12 baskets of food still remaining. And in Mark chapter 6, I believe it is, in reference to this matter, in chapter 8, he deals the feeding of the 4,000. And the disciples apparently didn't learn from the first occasion there. They looked around to the big crowd of folks and everything, and Jesus said, they need help. They need something to eat, because some of them have come a long journey, and they will faint as they leave here if they do not have some food to eat. That ties in the idea that there's a social side of our lives and living depends on that type of thing. The physical well-being of an individual the food to eat. So Jesus said, what food do we have among us? And they looked around and they said, we only have 7 loaves. And he said, okay, bring them to me. And with that, Jesus asked for further. They walked among the crowd and they found other little fishes. And the crowd was well satisfied with the supply that he gave to them on that day. They had 7 baskets of food left over that they picked up on that occasion. What I find in the Bible when I find about social activities, I find that those social activities render help and aid and encouragement and strength to individuals are saluted and highlighted and emphasized in the pages of the Scripture by Jesus' own life and by the verses that are there mentioned. Yes, indeed, God made the rich and the poor to dwell together. And He is the maker of them all. And when someone is in poverty and in need, there's assistance that can be rendered. And you and I do not lose funds when we share. You and I do not lose when we help. That's what I read in God's Word. On the other hand, I read accounts of people being very, very rude and very ugly. In Luke chapter 15, there is the account of the various things that are lost. The coin that is lost that's very precious and very valuable. And the sweeping of the whole house until that one coin is found. And then, of course, the account of the sheep. And how that one sheep, the shepherd secures the others. And then he goes out on a journey. And the word used there in the Scripture for going forth to seek out is a word used meaning that he made adequate preparation. He didn't anticipate that it might be, I'll go out there and holler one time and there the sheep will come bleating to me. It was whatever it took. I carry my food, I carry my ropes, I carry my harness. I'll go out here until I find this lost sheep. And when he found it, he put it on his shoulders. He came rejoicing. And then there's the sad account of the prodigal son. If we hadn't seen the social side of this occasion yet in Luke 15, what we find here cannot be denied. For in this particular passage of Scripture, we find a young man who says, Father, give me of my substance that you owe me, or give me that you will found for my benefits, and I want to go into a far country. The other brother who was there to home made no request like that. He seethed in his hatred, rejection, and disdain for the stories that he heard of his brother out there in the far country. His brother went out in the far country, and apparently he spent his money in a social way of life, in wild living. The words used in that text say that he simply threw it up in the air. That was the idea. He had friends aplenty while he was doing that, but he began to be in want in that land. He looked about and there was no one there but one man who would give him a job. And it says that as he worked with the swine, he fain would have filled his belly with the husk. The old hogs made it look like it was so delicious and so good, he wanted to have it himself. And there he was in need. But along the way in time, he got to thinking about where he was. And as he thought, he said, why do I perish in this land? When the servants, the slaves that are at my father's house, have more than I and they have it to share, I will arise and I'll go to my father. And I will say, Father, I have sinned against thee, and in heaven's sight I am no more worthy
to be called thy son. Make me as one of these hired servants. And that, he went on his way. And he didn't change his mind along the way. He came and he saw his father running to meet him. His father had seen him coming from a long way off and ran to meet him and called for this son to have shoes put on his feet and a robe on his back and kill the fatted calf that we have pinned up and let's make merry, for my son that was dead is now alive again. It's at this point in time that we realize the seriousness of this joyful occasion of social work and social activities and the eating of a good meal. For when the boy in the field heard the sounds of merriment going on, he came to inquire what the reason was. Your brother. Now here's the same father who cares for both of them, cares for the servants, is so of influence to that younger son who's been out there in the world to realize what he had and come home. And his father hears nothing of his saying, I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Bring the ring of authority and put it on his finger. This is our family. This is our heart. This is our ring. Bring this ring of authority. Put it on his hand. He was lost and he's found again. But this young man who's in the field says, I'll have none of it. Have you forgotten the stories we heard about his salacious living over there in that far country? Come and rejoice, your brother is back again. But he'll not hear of it. And the account there in Luke 15 leaves us with him outside. The social work of life forgives and has joy for good that is done, for help that is rendered, for peace that is now come to be. I want to ask of you today, what type of life are you living socially with others? Or if I were to preach this on a night lesson and another particular point be made, and I've got to make it this morning because we're going to sing and eat together tonight. And we will be social there, aren't we? But the idea is to be social in the sense of doing good. When Habakkuk talked about a man who has a friend that he gets to drink and he may uncover his nakedness, that's not the purpose of being the social servant of God. The purpose of being the social servant of God is to represent forgiveness and care and help. And that's what we have here in the prodigal son. Brethren, I tell you, it's a joy to preach these particular lessons of study in one way. Many tears are shed in preparation of this. And thankfulness of how God has given to us opportunities to serve. I'm so grateful for my relatives and how that they were people who went and studied and got the Bible to be open and tried to do what God said. I can't imagine the joy. I can, in one sense, if I think about it long enough, I guess, but I just say it like this. I can't imagine the first amount of joy that my granddad had when he was able to go a Sunday church service of people he didn't know and raise any question in the Bible class, and they would discuss by opening the Bible and seeing what was said here about that subject. And he could do it in peace. He had arguments and arguments and arguments where he was. He didn't have the arguments there. He had peace. For when they said, "What does the Bible say about this?" they could open the page and read what God's Word says. And that settled the matter. Wonderful friendship he was able to have. And friends that when I came along as his grandson, was able to see those people. Aged as they may have been, they looked like their age and everything. My granddad's brothers all died in their 50s, and I thought that was an old, old age. They looked to be old, decrepit men as they worked and labored in the farms and everything that they did. But I loved them and enjoyed them and enjoyed their conversations. Particularly did I enjoy my grandfather's conversation. A little social time to enjoy the study of the Bible together and to encourage me and be overjoyed at the peaceful way in which we could study the Bible together. You know, our only arguments here in regard to people who think that they read from the scripture here, there, and yonder, and want to hold up for it. If we just ask first, what does the Bible say on this subject? Why is that said there in that passage? What's the context of that verse? What's the meaning of that word? Look it up. We've got a pretty much of a sell-off situation. What a blessing it is to be with you today, and God bless you and everyone. Our Lord Jesus pled plainly. The second commandment is like unto the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And in the process of that, to be social in life doesn't mean for us to dance in such a way that we stir somebody's inner spirits and lust and wickedness. It means for us to enjoy a way of life that will be of help to others. Thank you for listening and your study with us today. God bless you in every good way. And as we sing this song of encouragement, remember that Jesus invites us to come and be a part of his service. The water has been warmed. Everything is ready for people to be obey the gospel, be baptized into Christ, and begin to walk that newness of life that Paul wrote about in Romans 6. And also as an opportunity for you and me to come back to the Lord in repentance and prayer. And remember that Simon was told that he could do that, and even the thought and intent of his heart would be forgiven him. God wants to live with us in heaven. He's invited us to come and be with him there when life on this earth is over. And until that time, he'll be with us to practice a life of pure religion, caring for those who are in need round about us. That's what he said. Would you come together as we stand and sing?
And the loving call obey. Come, for he loves you so. Only a step. Come, for he bled for you and died. He's the same loving Savior yet. Jesus the crucified, open for you the pearly gate. Loved ones for you, now watch and wait. Terrible thought to cry too late. Jesus, I come to only a step, only a step. Come, for he bled for you and I. He's the same loving Savior.